Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. This is Baher Ismat. I'm ICANN's Regional Vice President in the Middle East. Welcome to this webinar. This is the first webinar in a series that we're going to organize with GAT representatives from the Middle East, aiming to keep them acquainted with key issues and discussions taking place at the GAC. Just a quick housekeeping note that there is an Arabic translation available for those who need it. We're going to run the webinar in English, but there are channels available for, or at least one channel available for Arabic. So the idea to hold this webinar stemmed from discussions that we've had recently with some of the GAC members in the region, where they indicated that such GAC-focused webinars would help them stay tuned to the key GAC issues and GAC developments, and hopefully help them also become more active with the GAC. As you can see, the agenda today, we will get a debrief about ICANN 59 and the GAC communique. Robert Hogarth from ICANN will provide that. And then Manal Ismail, the Egypt's GAC representative, will shed some light on some of the GAC key issues like geographical names, two character codes, and next round of GTLDs. Then Alice Munia will provide an overview of capacity building activities that are organized with GAC representatives and governments from underserved regions. And finally, we will provide a quick overview of preparations underway for ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi. We aim to make this an interactive call, so feel free to raise your hand at any point or place your question in the chat room. We can get questions right after each agenda item and also at the end of the call. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Robert Hubbard, who will give us a debrief about ICANN 59. Rob, please.
Thank you very much, Baher. The quick sound check. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, everyone. It's an honor to join you this first day of August in my time zones. This is actually going to be my first official activity on my first official day responsible for GAC support. So it is a great honor to join you all, and you will all, this community will have a very fond place in my memory as this is the first official activity. So thanks very much for inviting me and giving me an opportunity to speak. I'm going to provide you with a very general overview of the ICANN 59 meeting that the GAC held in Johannesburg. The GAC communique has already been published and does an excellent job of getting into the details of the various activities and sessions that the GAC has been involved in. I'll focus on a couple of key aspects of the communique and its development this time around. because I think you'll find it of interest. But otherwise, I'll keep my comments general in terms of the overall approach, and I know that on the next agenda item, Manal will be going into some real specifics with you all with respect to some of the most important substantive topics that were discussed in Johannesburg. In general terms, I think it was a very successful meeting in that you had more than a third of GAC members participating. Over 60 of the 173 now GAC members attended the various sessions in Johannesburg. About 18% or one-sixth of the observers of the GAC were also in attendance. There were 33 sessions, individual sessions, that were held in Johannesburg, which totaled 27 hours of total meeting time. Now, it's important, I think, to share with a number of you who were not able to attend that this was the second time that an ICANN meeting was following the policy forum format. That format, which was developed several years ago by a cross-community working group, identified one of the ICANN meetings during the year to be of shorter duration. This time it was only 4 days, and targeted to focus on substantive policy matters, policy work, and policy discussions, with an overall emphasis on cross-community deliberations. The thought being that it's very productive for various communities to conduct their own internal discussions, but at least once a year it's very important to try to maximize and emphasize more cross-community collaboration and deliberations. And I think as you'll see me summarize the various sessions that the GAC held, there was a lot of that transpired. Now, what's important also, I hope for all of you to be aware of, is that all the transcripts have now been published for the various sessions in Johannesburg. And so if there's a particular session that you're interested in finding more about, there's a transcript as well as a recording. I think all of the recordings of the sessions as translated into the six major UN languages have now also all been published on the ICANN meeting website for Johannesburg. So all of that information will be available to you. In terms of those 33 sessions that the GAC held, there were probably, I think, around three or four major categories of work that transpired in Johannesburg. There were sessions on operational topics, updates from ICANN staff, meetings with other groups, various working group meetings and reports to the general GAC membership, and then there were substantive sessions focusing on particular topics. On the operational side, there were a number of sessions talking about new election tools that will be utilized in the upcoming GAC elections taking place later this year. And there was actually an announcement at the meeting that the nominations were opening for candidates to declare their interest or be nominated for the upcoming change in the ICANN chairmanship, as well as opportunities for folks to submit their interest in participating as vice chairs in the GAC leadership. There was also a session about website improvements. As many of you have probably seen in recent communications from ICANN staff, there are new opportunities to get new credentials for the new website, experiment with the capabilities there. And so there was a session to talk about that. And there was also some exploration about the independent GAC secretariat arrangements and what the status of those efforts were. In terms of the ICANN staff updates, the major session that seemed to be of interest to many folks was the upcoming KSK rollover. So that session got a lot of interest. In terms of meetings with other groups, there were at least six, with the most important ones being a meeting with the ICANN board, a meeting with the ICANN board governance committee to talk about the applications of the new ICANN bylaws and how those impacted the GAC, Meetings with individual other community groups included the At-Large Advisory Committee, the CCNSO, the GNSO, and a meeting with one of the subgroups within the GNSO community, the Brand Registry Group. That's an association that is a member of the registry stakeholder group of the GNSO. In terms of working group activities and reports, there were both sessions for and updates to the GAC plenary from the Underserved Regions Working Group, the Human Rights and International Law Working Group, the Public Safety Working Group, as well as the Working Group on Protection of Geographic Names. And then probably the most well-attended sessions that had the most conversation and involvement included a number of topics, including implementation of the new ICANN bylaws and how the GAC could participate in that. I noted how that was a subject of some discussion at the Board Governance Committee, but it also had its own session. There was a session with the review team for competition and consumer trust issues, the IGO Red Cross Red Crescent Protection, Workstream 2 matters, a briefing from that cross-community working group, and a session on DNS abuse. Manal will go into a lot more detail with you all on sessions regarding two-character country codes at the second level, geographic names at the top level, and the next round of new GTLDs. As I mentioned to you earlier, there were, you know, one of the areas of emphasis for the policy forum format was cross-community working group sessions. And there were six cross-community working group sessions taking up about 12 hours of programming over the course of the 4 days that GAC members were active participants in. Those discussions included general data protection regulations, investigating some practical solutions for that going forward, discussions of the fundamental bylaw changes, and a lot of good discussion about the GAC's participation in the empowered community. In Johannesburg, based on how the timing worked for everything, there were discussions about a recent board resolution with respect to changes to how the board had organized itself with respect to some of its committee work. And so there was an opportunity there for the community to test and figure out how to operationalize the various empowered community representative responsibilities. So that prompted some very useful conversations, particularly on the GAC front, about how that is to be managed and how that will be handled going forward. And some of you may have seen on the GAC list how that's being administered. And some of you may have questions for Manal and other vice chairs or the chair about that in the coming weeks and months. Because in this case, the bylaw change was relatively non-controversial. I don't think anyone had any difficulties about it, but it was a good test for the future. There were also actually two sessions to talk about geographic names at the top level. Almost six full hours of cross-community interaction on that topic. Conversations about next-generation GTLD registration directory services, the new community name that's been applied to what we all formally remember as WHOIS. And then a session led by Thomas Schneider to talk about who sets ICANN's priorities. And so a fairly wide-ranging discussion about the activities of the community and how, you know, how decisions are made in terms of what are the areas that we focus on as a group and how that workload gets distributed and managed and handled. So that's just a general overview of a lot of the topics that were explored by GAC members both in plenary and individual sessions. If you have questions about particular sessions that can't be answered by the transcripts or by the recordings, I'll be more than happy to either answer them myself or put you in touch with folks who have expertise in those particular topics. Because Of those 33 sessions, there were over 27 hours of just GAC total meeting time. And so that's a lot to put into just a four-day period. And I haven't even talked about the outreach event that was sponsored by the Underserved Regions Working Group and the PSWG, the Public Safety Working Group, which took place 2 days before the meeting. And Alice will probably get into that a little bit. Briefly, as I mentioned to you, the GAP communique has already been published and includes more specifics about some of the information I've just shared with you. But I think it's important to talk a little bit about the communique in the context of the policy forum. And Manal may be able to reinforce some of these thoughts. And I hope I'm not speaking out of school here. But what was interesting to me as sort of a new observer and participant in supporting the GAC in Johannesburg was that there was actually some conversation about whether in the forum, the policy forum format, there was going to even be a need for a communique. And so there was a couple interesting discussions, I think, about that among the GAC membership and those people who participated in the meeting. Obviously, because one was generated, there was a conclusion that should continue to take place. But it was just interesting just to see that discussion on its own. There was also a slight change in the timing and how the communique was put together from a timing perspective. This time, because of the, I guess, less stressful schedule in terms of time pressures, not clearly the amount of time for discussion, but just in terms of the cycle of the week and the fact there was not a board meeting at the end of the week, the communique went out a day later than it normally does. And presumably that gave the participants in Johannesburg an opportunity to be a little bit more thoughtful in terms of what went into the document, kept everybody from working until midnight on the night that the communique had to be drafted, and provided a little bit more flexibility in the schedule. So it will be interesting to see whether that spirit continues for the next meetings or whether the traditional communique drafting returns in subsequent meetings, Abu Dhabi and beyond. So that's a little bit of perspective on the communique development. And then finally, I'd just like to touch on some perspectives that not only some members of GAC leadership have shared, both at the meeting and since then, but also comments that I heard from leaders of other communities throughout the meeting and since then. And the comment or perspective is actually twofold. One is that a number of people identified that the GAC seemed to be responding to and adapting to this new policy forum format. And I think that reflects a change among the various community groups at ICANN. This is only the second time that we're going through this cycle of different meeting formats at the three different ICANN meetings. And with this being the shortest of duration and time, it seemed as if the GAC session agenda, as well as a lot of the discussions, really began to leverage the time, the cross-community time that was available, the interaction with other communities, the unusual sort of imposition of a break time in the schedule to really interact with other communities. And that was observed, I think, both by GAC participants and members, as well as other members of the community, as a very positive step. And also, finally, to paraphrase a member of the GAC leadership who made the comment a couple weeks after the meeting, it was viewed as, interestingly enough, a turning point for the GAC in terms of a meeting where GAC members and the broader community felt that the GAC was much more engaged with the rest of the community in not only the bilateral discussions, which you all know have taken place for years, but also in the cross-community deliberations, the willingness to examine conversations and discussions about a broader aspect of ICANN's work, and a willingness to be much more engaged on issues earlier in the process. And that was viewed by all, both inside the GAC, by many inside the GAC, as well as a lot of folks outside, is a very positive development. Bahar, that concludes my overview. Either on this call or in subsequent communications afterwards by email, I would be more than delighted to answer anyone's questions. And I'm very much looking forward to meeting many of you in Abu Dhabi and working with you for weeks, months, and years to come. So thanks again for having me be able to participate today.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob, for this comprehensive summary of, the sessions, meetings, and interactions that the GAC was part of during ICANN 59 in Johannesburg. I'd like to see if there are any questions or comments from any of the participants. You can raise your hand or place your question or comment in the chat room.
Bahar, I did have one last. Yeah, I'm
sure.
Sorry, this is Rob. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention, and I'm sure Manal will get into a little bit more detail later. But the other major bit of news or announcement that was made in Johannesburg was that the next high-level governmental meeting that ICANN holds every 2 years has been scheduled. That's going to take place at in Barcelona, and that will take place in October of 2018. Manal may talk a little bit more about that during her remarks or later in the call, but I wanted to make sure that I included that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob, for the addition. Okay, I see no hands up, so let's move to Manal. Manal, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Bahar, and thanks, Rob, for the debrief and welcome officially to the GAC. So very quickly, before moving to the topics, allow me to quickly highlight that the GAC has been working with the GNSO to identify opportunities for GAC early engagement in the policy development process of the GNSO. So I would encourage all GAC colleagues to engage early and continuously at the policy development process stage rather than being reactive at the very end. As you have heard from Rob, there are many topics being discussed within the GAC, but we have chosen three topics to focus on our agenda today that we felt are of special interest to governments in our region. The first is the release of the two character country codes at the second level in new GTLDs. And it's worth noting here that this is different from other processes that has to do with the country and territory names at the top level and at the second level, as well as it's also different from the three character country code at the top level. Also worth noting that the two-character country codes are subsets of the two-character labels in general, and this includes the digit-digit, digit-letter, and letter-digit as well, in addition to the letter-letter. The registration of two-character labels have traditionally been available for registration as second-level domain names in many legacy GTLDs. And the two character country codes were reserved under the new GTLD registry agreement. So some new GTLD registry operators requested ICANN to authorize the release of the two character labels in new GTLDs as well. Some GAC members raised concerns for the use of letter-letter combinations that are on the ISO 31661 as second-level domain name, So the board passed a resolution authorizing the development and implementation of an efficient procedure for the release of two character domains, taking into account the gas concerns. So effective 1st of December 2014, ICANN published first a general authorization for release of all non-letters, letter two character ASCII labels, that is digit-digit and digit-letter and letter-digit for all new GTLD registries. Then the work started on a process for release of the letter-letter two character labels, and following a board resolution in February 2015, the process implemented improvements to alert relevant governments, extended the comment period to be 60 days for new requests, and reopened requests with completed comment periods so that each request will undergo the 60 days in total. And only non-objected labels were released at the time. So notifications to governments were sent based on a table compiled by the GAC stating whether a government doesn't want to be notified at all or doesn't want to be notified only if the TLD is a brand or wants to be notified of all requests. In October 2015, ICANN launched a process to gather comments and concerns by governments and CCTLDs and allowed registries to propose measures to address government and CCTLD concerns. This eventually led to the development of an initial set of proposed measures to avoid confusion with corresponding country codes. On November 8th, 2016, the ICANN board authorized the retiring of this process, which allowed notifications and commenting, and allowed all registries to release the letter-letter two-character labels, provided that they implement the revised set of measures to avoid confusion with corresponding country codes. Two of those measures are mandatory. One has to do with the TLD registry policy, where the registries have to amend the registration policy to require registrants of the two-character country code to commit not misrepresent or falsely imply affiliation with or endorsement by the relevant government or CCTLD manager. The other mandatory measure has to do with the post-registration complaints, and registry operators are expected to take reasonable steps to investigate and respond to reports of conduct that causes confusion with the country code. In addition, registries and registrars were urged to engage with the relevant GAC members, but obviously this was not obligatory, and also as an option, registry operators may choose to implement an optional pre-registration period exclusively available to relevant governments and country code managers. On 8th of November 2016, the ICANN board approved those measures and authorized registry operators to release the reserved letter-letter to character labels at the second level. And on 13th December 2016, the ICANN announced its implementation of the 8th of November board resolution, which meant that as of that date, all two-character country codes may be released, provided that the registry operators implement the measures. ICANN does not take requests for release of the two-character country codes anymore, nor post them for comment, as the previous authorization and comment process was retired. Registries are not required to seek government agreement nor notify government when releasing the two character, the two letter country code. GAC members are not able to provide any comments, nor do they receive any notifications, hence moving the whole burden of follow-up and monitoring to the government and registries and registrars are not obliged to engage with the relevant government and also may choose to provide government with an exclusive pre-registration period as an option, but also this allowed registries to charge government substantial fees for registrations during this period. So because of those consequences, this remained an issue of concern to some GAC members. Consequently, in Copenhagen, the GAC advised the board to take into account the serious concerns expressed by some GAC members and to engage with concerned governments, explore measures to find a satisfactory solution of the matter, and provide clarification of the decision-making process and of the rationale for the November 2016 resolution. Accordingly, the board held two consultation calls with the GAC intersessionally between Copenhagen and Johannesburg. And in Johannesburg, the GAC welcomed the board's response to the GAC Copenhagen communique directing the CAO to engage with concerned governments. Also during the consultation calls as well as during the GAC board discussions in Johannesburg, there seemed to be support for establishment of a task force regarding this issue. The ICANN CEO mentioned that he will be happy to help facilitate such a task force to develop better communications and with governments on this issue. And the GAC proposed that the mandate and working methods of this task force be determined in consultation with the GAC and other interested parties. So this is where we stand right now on this issue, discussing next steps regarding the creation of this task force, its composition, and its mandate. So, Beher, shall I move directly to the following topic or pause here for questions?
Well, I think you can carry on and then we can take questions at the end of your intervention.
Yeah, for the sake of time. So, the second topic is geographic names at the top level. So during the 2012 round of the new GTLD program, country and territory names and acronyms as defined in the ATLAS guidebook were afforded protections and prevented from registration. Certain geographic names also as defined in the applicant guidebook were permitted when accompanied with supporting or non-objection documentation. In light of experience with the last round of new GTLD applications, GAC members raised concerns about the lack of protection for additional names of geographic significance. So during the application process of the 2012 round, confusion and disputes occurred over strings considered by some to be geographic, though not referenced in the applicant guidebook, and there was no agreed way to resolve these disputes. A GAC working group on protection of geographic names was established in 2015 to examine how to improve the protections offered to geographic names in any future expansion of GTLDs for names not included in the applicant guidebook, but also including names and acronyms with geographic significance. The working group is supposed to review and consider any necessary improvements to the existing protections by, for example, developing practical options and suggestions that are aimed at improving protection of geographic names during future expansion and lowering uncertainties for governments and relevant communities, as well as for applicants, trademark holders, and businesses involved. Also, by developing best practices to avoid misuse of geographic and community names as new GTLDs, and by ensuring early involvement of local communities, governments, and other relevant stakeholders at initial stages to avoid future risks and delays of such applications. The GAC working group is currently discussing a draft proposal to create a future agreed framework for terms with geographic significance. I don't think we have the time to get into the details of this proposal, but there was no consensus for this proposal within the GAC working group, So given the diverse views, governments are seeking to potentially revise the proposal to reach consensus. And of course, it's not only the GAC that's working on this topic. There are currently several efforts underway within the community working on geographic names, each focusing on different scope and aspects of how geographic names should be handled. Worth noting that the relevant cross-community working group recently concluded without reaching agreement. So recognizing the parallel efforts and divergent views in the community, the new DTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group sought to facilitate a community-wide dialogue that allows the community to consolidate work, collaborate, understand the various needs, and consider and debate proposals to address geographic names at the top level in future new GTLDs. The goal is to work collaboratively with the community to develop a consensus-driven compromise solution by creating fair, predictable process for allocating strings that match geographically significant terms. Because without consensus for any future change, there will still be high risk for continued confusion and disputes with unpredictable results. So there are diverse interests and concerns expressed by the different stakeholders. Some governments want the applicant guidebook non-objection requirements to be extended to other strings with possible geographic significance, in order to protect their national identity and protect important national places, avoid confusion between national TLDs and GTLDs, as well as maintain content or non-objection authority on important strings. Also, the CCTLDs want to avoid confusion with CCTLDs and maintain a market for the CCTLDs. And for the GTLD registry operators, obviously, they would like to expand the range of potentially available strings that could be valuable for non-geographic commercial and non-commercial users, enable, protect, and use strings that support brand identity, including those that coincidentally match geographically significant terms. Of course, they would like to maintain positive relationships with governments and ensure a clear, fair, predictable, and timely decision-making process. So accordingly, the new GTLD subsequent procedures working group organized two webinars intersessionally between Copenhagen and Johannesburg, and also organized two cross-community sessions in Johannesburg. Both sessions were open to the entire community and facilitated by an independent facilitators from the Consensus Building Institute. And the discussion was guided by a straw person document prepared by the working group co-chairs. So key issues discussed during the session included what makes a string a geographic name, when can a geographic name be applied for, and when can it be delegated to a particular applicant. Also, if there are simultaneous applications for a geographic name, how should this be resolved, and how could geographic use be distinguished from generic use, and finally, how can commitments to restrict a CLD to non-geographic use be monitored and enforced. In the cross-community discussions, participants also raised procedural issues and concerns related to addressing geographic names at the top level. So the co-chairs of the subsequent procedures working group proposed the creation of a fifth work track in the subsequent procedures PDP. To this topic, to the geographic names, using a shared cross-community leadership model with representation from the relevant SOs and ACs. So they requested joint leadership for this work track by four representatives selected by the ALAC, the CCNSO, the GAC, and the GNSO. and the PDP co-chairs are currently engaging in dialogue with the leaders of those SOs and ACs with the goal of developing recommendations by ICANN 61 in March 2018. I will try to speed up with the next round of new GTLDs. So in June 2014, the GNSO Council established a discussion group that was intended to evaluate the experiences of the first round of new GTLDs. A PDP working group was established and started to work in February 2015. The working group initially concentrated on a set of overarching issues, and it initially had four work tracks. Work track one, on the overall process, the applicant support, the outreach. They also discussed clarity of application process, application fees, the option for variable fees, the clarity of the applicant guidebook. Work track two focuses on legal and regulatory aspects. And they discussed things around the registry agreements, the reserved names, the closed generics, contractual compliance, CLD rollout, and other things, of course. Work track three on spring contention, objections, and disputes. And as the name indicates, this work track focuses on objections, community applications and community priority evaluations, strength similarity evaluations, and finally work track four focusing on internationalized domain names, which also, again, as the name indicates, focuses on the IDNs, universal acceptance, application evaluation, name collision, security and stability. And as I mentioned earlier, after Johannesburg, there is intention to have a fifth track focusing on the geographic names with cross-community leadership, and a start date of early September for this group has been suggested. Issues of interest to the GAC include seven areas, rounds and other mechanisms and ICANN preparatory work, which looks at the pros and cons of continuing to release new GTLDs in regular rounds versus keeping it ongoing, and if ongoing, what are the possible models, whether first come, first serve, or other appropriate mechanisms. The second is the categories of CLDs, and whether there should be different categories for new GTLDs. If yes, what are those categories? What should be their characteristics? Should they be treated differently? If yes, how? And examples of categories here are geographic names, brands, IGOs, community-based applications, highly regulated sectors, and sensitive markets. The third focus area, predictability framework and community engagement, which basically looks at having a system in place that avoids destabilizing changes after policy implementation is being launched, mainly focusing on better community engagement. The fourth has to do with safeguards and global public interest. And during the first round, the GAC had several arguments in favor of consumer safeguards. So they would like to ensure that such arguments would be considered in policy development, in particular with respect to highly regulated sectors and sensitive strings, preventive security measures, DNS abuse reporting, the balance between law enforcement and privacy considerations, and other things. And the fifth is community-based application and possible changes to community application arrangements, definition of community, profit versus non-profit, and how inclusive it is. The sixth has to do with the underserved regions and whether changes need to be made with regard to support for applicants from developing countries. And the seventh is the geographic names, for which we have indicated that a fifth work track would be established. From an underserved regions working group perspective, the following four areas were also specified to be of interest: the applicant support and support for applicants from developing countries, also the application fees, which is currently, I believe, is 185,000, and also whether variable application fees could be implemented based on the type or category, open versus closed registries, community-based applications, and so on, as well as the application submission period and the communication method between ICANN and the community. So I leave it here. I'm sorry if I have exceeded the time, and happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Manal, for this detailed presentations on three very important topics that involve lots of discussions across various ICANN constituencies and working groups. I'm a bit conscious of time. We still have two agenda items to cover. So if you allow me, we're going to go straight to the next agenda item with Alice Munia on the capacity building for underserved regions, and we'll keep the questions towards the end of the call. Alice, you have the floor.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello, Bahar, can you hear me?
Yes, Alice,
hello.
I can hear you.
For inviting me to this meeting. I will be very, very brief by first explaining the reason why the underserved regions working group and the focus of it is on regions and that are underserved by the DNS industry on, and specifically on least developed economies and developing states. The particular focus is on ICANN and ICANN-related policy issues. And as Manal mentioned, currently we are looking specifically at the next round of new GTLDs and all the reviews that are going on. But linked to that, that is the most important objective, which is to ensure and enable GAC representatives and also governments from underserved regions are able to participate in ICANN and GAC policy from an informed position. And so the underserved regions work collaboratively with all the ICANN, relevant ICANN departments, from facility to the global stakeholder engagement and others, to ensure that we are developing a capacity development package for our members. The working group so far looks specifically at increased effective and meaningful participation as understanding of the public policy making. The first workshops were held for the Africa region in January in 2017, and they focused on 2 days with GAC and government members, even those countries that are not members of the GAC. So it's also an awareness creation exercise. And it took place in Nairobi. And then 2 days with law enforcement agencies, because the work, especially when it comes to the implications of GTLDs, be it CCTLDs or GTLDs, the public safety implications are of importance to government, and so we had 2 days for law enforcement. The second was held for the Pacific Islands in Fiji, and we had all the Pacific Island member states attending. And the third one was in Johannesburg, but that one specifically focused on capacity development for African law enforcement agencies, and specifically for those coming from the Southern African region and South Africa itself, where we had more than 57. And that focused mainly on DNS abuse and providing law enforcement agencies with certain tools for investigating crimes, and also ICANN, but other partners, especially from the business community and from the registry and the regional internet registry community. So we work with all of them to provide a good program. We are preparing for a Middle East one that is going to be during ICANN 60, and I think Baher will speak very briefly. He's introducing the planning for ICANN 60. And what we intend to do, and we do with this workshop, is first send out a survey so we can understand the needs of government and law enforcement, and then we're able to tailor the workshop within that context. So look out for that, and we hope that most of you will be able to participate, because it will be introducing a little bit more in-depth and contextual understanding of some of the issues that Manal has spoken about. And the idea here is to ensure, like she mentioned, that we are able to be proactive in being part of this process, the TCNSO or the GNSO and others. Another important issue that's coming up is the issue of data protection. And quite a number of people, especially after the attack, were a little bit more understanding on how that impacts on law enforcement and consumer protection, data protection agencies. And so we, depending on what the survey results are for Middle Eastern governments, we'll be able to provide that as an additional session. I will leave it here and hand over to Baher. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Baher, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Alice, for this brief overview on the capacity building activities for underserved regions. And indeed, as you mentioned, we are considering organizing a similar activity alongside ICANN Abu Dhabi. We've been discussing this with the local host as well as with you. And we've also socialized the idea with some of the GAP members in the region to have one or maybe two-day workshop, depending on topics. Issues related to DNS abuse. Perhaps our target audience this time would primarily be GAC members who normally come from ministers of telecommunication as well as telecom regulators, in addition also to representatives from CERT, computer emergency response teams, in the region. So hopefully in the coming week or two, we will have details on this topic, and we'll update all GAC members from the region accordingly. Regarding ICANN 60 and preparation for ICANN 60, we are coordinating closely with the local host, the Telecom Regulatory Authority of the United Arab Emirates, on various engagement activities leading up to ICANN 60 to raise awareness among local community and ensure participation, good participation at ICANN 60. But more importantly, on the GAC and the government engagement, we are also very interested to see a good level of participation from governments from the region, particularly that we have over 20 or maybe 21 governments from the Middle East members of the GAC. Of course, many of them are not regular attendees of the GAC, so we look forward to their participation at ICANN Abu Dhabi. But also we look at ICANN 60 more as an opportunity to encourage participation, but it's not a goal in itself. So the goal is to have ongoing and more active participation from GAT members from the region moving forward, and the Abu Dhabi meeting is a good opportunity to start this practice. Also, the webinars, as I said at the beginning, this is not going to be a one-time event. We intend to continue this practice on a regular basis. We are planning another webinar to be held about maybe a month before ICANN 60, so it will be around the end of September, early October time frame. So we also see the webinars as another avenue for engaging GAT members from the region more actively and more regularly. So this is as far as ICANN Abu Dhabi is concerned, and I'd like also to allow maybe a couple of minutes if any questions or comments from any of the participants. Please raise your hand or speak directly to the mic if you have any question or comment. Okay, Abdurrahman, please go ahead. Abdurrahman?
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me very well?
Yes, we can.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Bahar, Fahad, and everyone for having this webinar. It's certainly very useful. So I'd like to thank you for that, and I look forward also for more of such webinars. It would certainly help the community, especially in this region, to learn about ICANN, various ICANN activities, and see how they can participate and have their voices heard. I just want to have one comment and a note, perhaps, since we are hosting ICANN. We are the local host for ICANN 60. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone, especially from the region. I think it's really good opportunity to have more engagement from the region and have more participation into the ICANN processes, various processes. So I welcome you all, and I offer my support if any of you need any assistance or help, or if you have any ideas that you want us to perhaps execute in the upcoming ICANN meeting. I think that would be really good. Thank you, Bahar.
Thank you, Abdurrahman. I appreciate your help and your support. Of course, if any questions or requests that any of the GAT members need help with, please feel free to reach out to us as ICANN staff, or maybe to Abdurrahman directly on that. Any further questions or comments? I can see that Ned is typing something in the chat. Okay, Ned, you can write your comments. Okay, in the meantime, Manel raised her hand, so we'll take the comment from Manel. Manel, go ahead.
Yes, are we under any other business yet, or are we talking about ICANN 60 preparations?
Well, no, we can actually, because we're about to wrap it up, so you can consider that we are under any other business if you want to raise any points.
I just wanted to reiterate what Rob said regarding the high-level meeting in Barcelona in 2018, and to encourage their colleagues to start preparing for this meeting as well, because it's meant to engage a senior official government officials and to bring to their attention the work of the GAC so they can spare their GAC members the time and the resources and the authority to participate. So it's a good opportunity, and despite it looks like it's far away, given that we invite ministers and high-level officials, so I would suggest and would encourage colleagues to start working on this. And of course, to participate to the GAC elections that is to take place the announcement will be in Abu Dhabi, inshallah, and hope to see everyone there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And on the GAC elections, and just in case not everyone is aware, Manal Ismail from Egypt is running for the GAC chairmanship this round. So that is just an FYI. We don't often see candidates from our region running for leadership roles. So I think this is also a good opportunity to try to strengthen the region's presence and engagement in ICANN. So there was a comment in the chat room from Nader. He was referring to the underserved regions workshop, the DNS abuse kind of workshops that Alice spoke to, and he wanted to support the idea of having such a workshop held in Abu Dhabi. I can assure you, Nader, that we are working seriously on making this happen. And as I said, in the next couple of weeks, we will have more details on this. But so far, many parties are in support of organizing this workshop. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Yeah, and Alice is confirming that as well. Thank you, Alice. Okay, I realize that we're 7 minutes over the hour, so I don't want to keep you any longer on the call. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining. Thanks to our speakers and to all the participants for attending this call, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Have a good day, all. Thank you.